Hi guys, on this show we're looking at Truman, Miller, Reinhold, McCain, Holliday, Axton, Cates and Galligan. We're looking at 1984's Gremlins.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of 100 Things We Learned From Films. I'm one of your hosts, my name's Planty,
and I'm afraid I don't use it myself. It promotes rust. It's a really niche fucking reference.
Hey guys, and I'm the other guy, and I am the bathroom buddy.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I was going to take bathroom buddies. Excuse me.
John, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. It's, the mic's working better this week. Apparently, the last week wasn't the best, but it sounds good.
Yeah, good. We owe a little bit of an apology for the sound. Fucking hell knows what was wrong with your mic. And me, I was all over the shop. Listening to the edit, and I barely remember any of what I said. I was going to say, which explains why it's not funny. It's just not funny anyway.
You just don't like it.
Yeah,
you just don't like it.
It is Christmas. It's Christmas. It's not quite Christmas, but it's Christmas month. Yeah. So, like every other fucking prick of a podcast out there, we are doing some Christmas films. Yep. This week, we have picked what, John?
We have picked 1984's Gremlins. Not the Gremlins.
No,
Gremlins.
Not the Gremlin. The Die Gremlin Die. Right. Okay. I mean, I think we've been due this one. For a few years now, haven't we? You know, since we started, we have been due this one. 1984, we could have covered what, John?
We could have covered Splash.
Okay.
Women in Red, which I vaguely remember.
I don't think I've ever seen it. Kelly LeBrock and...
Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
I just remember him falling for a building, which is a bit weird. Footloose.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, Put on Your Sunday Goose, yeah.
Depressing the Killing Fields, which is really...
Homer Simpson got his Oscar from Dr. Hang Nagore, yeah.
And,
by the way, on the day that on the day after Kissinger's died, so fucking celebrate, just to date this one. Kissinger died yesterday, listeners, as we're recording this on, and the Killing Fields. What a fucking prick.
Nah, he's about to see one. And Top Secret.
We spoke about this before.
Love a good slapstick parody. Absolutely. Funny, fun,
that,
fun.
That big, that magnifying glass.
Magnifying glass.
Eye. Fucking brilliant, yeah.
So winner.
Yeah. Any relationship with Gremlins, John? I mean, you've been having a few, but other than that,
I've been all right, mate. Typical one of the ones that we've seen. I'm sure there was a video van one, you know.
Yeah.
And I watched up my granny's.
All right. Okay. Your granny's granny gremlin. Yeah, that bit of music was just brought me back. And I've watched Ghostbusters recently as well. Just something like, what a year! What a year for film.
Music as well. Just like, the music just hooks you again.
Yeah, we got a few bits of music on this one. Right, okay, let's begin. But before we do that, if you give us a quid, you can vote for an episode a month. By the time you hear this, we will have decided what we... In fact, we know exactly what we're doing, John. What is our patron's choice this week? This month, rather.
It's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, that's our patron's Christmas Vacation.
Which I know you're...
Oh, I've been so keen to do it. Yeah, it was between that and Elf.
Elf, yeah.
And I'd put Elf up, I think, just because it was on things. It was on the streaming services. I went, oh, fuck it, we'll do that. But I don't actually think I like it.
Is it just because it cheats at snowball fights? Is that the problem?
Yeah, probably. That spaghetti makes me feel a bit sick.
Oh, God, I forgot that. Yeah, it's pretty gross. Yeah. Pretty gross.
Well, a man with my constitution, I just couldn't.
True that. Yes,
so Christmas Vacation, which I'm dead excited about watching again. And again. But yeah, if you give us a quid every month, we'll give you a shout out, and we will also allow you to pick in the patron's choice. It's patreon.com/100things or... 100thingswelearnedfromfilm.co.uk. So the number 100thingswelearnedfromfilm.co.uk, 100 things. You can find all of our socials and bits and pieces there.
Yarp. Yarp.
All right. So in the film, we start with this narrator, Rand Peltzer. Now, I've written narrator, but he's actually only got about three lines of narration.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is he a character? Question mark. Because he comes in at the start, he delivers the protagonist something.
Yeah.
Or he delivers the protagonist, perhaps. And then he fucks off. And then he keeps ringing in, doesn't he? Keeps ringing in. I'm just checking the movie's going all right, lads.
He literally phoned in that performance.
he literally phoned in the performance, John. Yeah. Very good. He's an inventor looking to sell his wares as well as buy a present for his kid. He's trying to sell this travel buddy, right? Which is basically the Swiss Army knife for travelling, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah,
exactly what it looks like.
He's got a lot of buddies. He's in Chinatown at this point, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
So yeah. I've looked at this. So the film itself is set in Pennsylvania. The closest Chinatown to Pennsylvania is New York. So he's 210 miles away.
Oh, very good.
Which is a 3.5-hour journey by car. It's like me going to Manchester.
All right. Oh, hey, look at this. Oh, this is good for the...
And you can't get one of those buddies anywhere. I was trying to find one online to see if I could actually buy one. So there's about the product, but you can't actually buy
a model. Just buy a Swiss Army knife and modify it. It'll probably work better than his. Because he's shocking, isn't he?
he is
the worst inventor. Clive Sinclair, he ain't.
Exactly. Let's say. Exactly.
Chinatown John, Binondo in Manila, the Philippines, is the world's oldest Chinatown. Established in the 1950s by the Spanish as a settlement for Catholic Chinese peoples. Manhattan Chinatown is home to the highest concentration of Chinese people in the Western Hemisphere. Forget it, John. It's the Western Hemisphere. he meets this kid, this little boy, and he shows him in to this place, his grandfather's shop. I might be a little bit bias here. It's full of a lot of tat, innit?
Oh, it's rubbish.
It's like every shop in Chinatown in London this late.
It's absolute tat.
It is absolute. But I was really disappointed to find out there wasn't one of them fist-pumping cats.
Oh, the cats.
You know, fist-pumping cats.
That's always in the restaurants.
Yeah. Those bad boys. Whoop, whoop.
Those GBX experience cats.
chewing his face off. He's on all the catnip. He is the chirruping singing, and this boy shows him this creature. It's a mogwai. A mogwai. I'm not going to describe what a mogwai looks like, because it's 2024, listeners, in a few weeks' time, and you all know what a fucking mogwai looks like.
Yeah, have you seen it?
Yeah.
You've just been born.
He offers this old man $200, but mogwai not for sale.
What does that equate to now? You do all this, didn't you?
Yeah, $592.24 of your US cents, John.
Nice. Just so you know, I had it.
Oh, good. I thought you might. The old man says, no, not at any price. And the kid sells him anyway, because kids have no fucking idea of responsibility at all.
Short round wee cheating bugger.
Very good. We're told three rules. John, what were the rules?
Do not feed after midnight. Do not get wet, which I've got something to bring up about that.
Okay.
And don't expose to bright light.
Don't feed after midnight. Don't get wet. And don't expose to bright light. It's like being married to you, John. Kirsty neither gets wet. She lives in Scotland, so she never gets any bright light. And you don't allow her to eat after midnight.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you eat all the food in the house.
Them's the rules. Exactly.
The actor, John, did you know anything about this dad, by the way?
No.
Right, okay, so I found a little bit out about him. Hoyt Axton. I was like, who is this? But I have not seen this guy in anything else.
Hoyt
Axton. He's a singer, songwriter. He wrote Joy to the World for Three Dog Night. I haven't got any facts on that one because we did it in Forrest Gump.
Oh, sure we did.
When we got the record. The first record before Stig came on and pissed all over it. His mam, though, May Boren Axton, not only was she some form of gas, I assume, co-wrote Heartbreak Hotel.
What?
Yeah, for and with Elvis, by all accounts. pretty good, huh?
Unboring facts.
It's titles time. Kingston Falls, John. Mm-hmm. Christmas. Kingston Falls, you recognise this place?
Is it no Back to the Future lot?
It is Back to the Future. Yeah, that's exactly where it is. It is Back to the Future.
With the, is it Rockin' Rick?
Rockin' Rick, Ricky Rialto, yeah.
Yeah, dressed as Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah. Your man Spielberg was filming Temple of Doom at the time.
Ah, right, okay.
Kalimar Shukdie. I watched that again recently. It's dated really, really badly, but I just don't care. You know, I don't care because it's still a good film.
It's still a good film.
Such a good bottle film.
It encompasses everything that's on there.
Yeah, and okay, I know it's not going to be Nazis in, but yeah, I quite like the racist stuff I could live without. But I could live without the racist stuff in this.
Aye, true.
You know? Oh, by the way, I missed a bit. He's trying to sell the guy, isn't he? He's trying to sell the old Chinese man his bathroom buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, let's say you're late for the meeting and you haven't brushed your teeth. You've got a terrible case of the dragon breath.
And
this gong. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's just a bit too much. The dragon breath chili, John, is a Chinese capsicum and is 2.48 million Scovilles hot. And was designed as a collab with a chili farmer and Nottingham Trent University.
No way.
Go on, the big Nottingham. Yeah. The hottest chili is Pepper X, John. Pepper X.
Is that
formerly known as Twitter?
I was going to say that, Pepper Twitter.
2.693 million Scovilles. Philip Scovilles. Dragon's Breath in D&D is a level 2 transmutation spell. You touch one willing creature and imbue it with the power to spew magical energy from its mouth, provided it has one. You love this content, don't you, nerds? Don't you?
D&D.
You're getting these little tiny little stoners on, aren't you? You're loving it. Yeah.
Stoner.
On the titles, the song is Christmas, Baby Come Home by Darlene Love. John, Darlene Love. Mm-hmm. Charted poorly, but has popped up on the charts in the past few years in digital and streaming. A new chart for us today, John, Croatia.
What?
Yeah, 53rd on the HRT chart.
Oh, that does
No jokes about that at our age. 42, where, John?
The Netherlands?
Of course, yeah. Ireland and Canada, 27, and 15th in USA. The album A Christmas Gift for You, Phil Spector, was released in the United States on November the 22nd, 1963, which was the same day, John, that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Conspiracy.
It's a busy little snowbound city, by the way.
Oh, God, eh?
The sheriff's trying to get a free tree from the lot, where for some reason there's a kid dressed as a Christmas tree.
It's Corey Feldman.
Little tiny Corey Feldman. Now, I sandwiched this with Rachel, and she said to me, how is he so tiny? He's so tiny here. Was Goonies like 1988 or something? Goonies is the next year. And he must have had a massive growth spurt.
Ended up
being a really filthy-mouthed little shite.
I know, whereas this is like a wee cute.
He is pretty cute in this. He is pretty cute. I did think it was weird that he had a relationship with Billy when he's quite blatantly so young.
A lot older.
It turns out Billy was meant to be 13 originally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was going to be 13. And so that kind of makes that relationship okay.
That's right. Yeah.
But from what I can tell, there's only 6 children in this town.
Yeah, there's no many, is there?
No. I assume Biff Tannen had upset them all.
Pretty much, hello!
The set is called Courthouse Square, and it's Universal Studios lot in Universal City. And of course, John, you have already told us it's in Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Peltzer and his dog are failing to start his Beetle. No Beetle facts, John, because I'm pretty sure we've done them.
Done it with death,
aye. Yeah, I literally did look through a list of facts about the T1, and I was like, I'm sure we've done all of these.
Yeah, we've done it. Angel Share.
Oh, right. Oh, very good. Well remembered. Mr. Futterman and his neighbour, by the way. Hey, it's that guy.
That yeah. guy fit everywhere.
Yeah, he blames the foreign car.
Yeah, and that's the second time we've heard this. Goddamn foreign cars!
What was that in?
The Crow.
Oh, of course it was. When he's chasing him. Goddamn
foreign cars. He's in everything, isn't he? He was in Toys. No, Toys R Us. The one where the robot toys start to kill everybody. What's it called? Small soldiers.
Small soldiers? Oh, so he is. He's the
he was
big
a delivery
that
driver.
As well.
That was a delivery driver.
Fucking hell. Yeah,
Hartman as well.
No, he died recently as well. He died very, very recently. He says, you don't have this problem. 15 years old, my old Kentucky Harvester snowplow never broke down.
I know, look at the things like that. It's a mess.
It's, yeah. Kentucky Harvester, or the International Harvester Company, was founded in 1902 and renamed Navistar Inc. in 1986, which, of course, will have really upset fucking Futterman.
Oh, God, aye. Changing the name and everything. I was looking at the most reliable tractors. John Deere ranks as one of the highest tractor brands overall for loyalty and reliability in the UK. Oh,
very good.
Just so you know.
Fantastic. I mean, if anyone's going to know, it's you now living out in Stirling.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear John. John Deere. this was written by Christopher Columbus as well.
Oh, that guy just can't stay away from this
everywhere.
Podcast, can he?
No, so I looked up and just to check where he started his trade, but basically it says that his professional career began in the 1980s. He wrote a screenplay called Reckless.
Okay.
And that was it. That was his first professional, that was his first major thing.
Oh,
so.
Oh, good.
But he's everywhere, and every time we watch him, his name always pops up.
He's there, he's in the fucking guts of it, isn't he? Pervert. Nice. he says, I love your cartoons, Billy. I'm looking forward to seeing it in the funnies with Smiling Jack and Little Abner. Billy says, I don't think they make those cartoons anymore.
Little Abner.
The Adventures of Smiling Jack ran from 1933 to 1973, and Little Abner ran from 1934 to 1977.
Man,
out of touch.
Run.
Out of touch, in the boy, yeah.
Is that their equivalent, Andy Capp?
Well, funnily enough, one of them is written by Mr. A. Capp. Little Abner, not Little Abner, the first one. Smiling Jack was written by Mr. A. Capp. It just said ACAP, and no. I was going to very nearly right going to do Andy. An Andy Capp thing, and I thought, no, who's that for?
Need to get it. I'd have got it.
Yeah. By the way, I have very little doubt that that your man Futterman voted Trump. Did he?
Aye,
absolutely voted. In spite of the fact he's been out of work for like 30 years, he still voted Trump.
God, aye.
The cinema, John, they go past is showing A Boy's Life. And Watch the Skies, which were both working titles for E.T. and E.T. Close Encounters.
Man.
And are both rubbish titles, by the way. Not the titles are rubbish, not the films. But, I mean, also the films. Because it wouldn't be Christmas without me upsetting the listeners by saying good films are shit, would it? one day, people are going to get it and stop getting upset with me. Online, because they're like, you said E.T. was shit. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It is shit.
And what?
Yeah, and fucking what? There's all these independent traders on this street, by the way, and right slap bang in the middle of it is a Burger King.
Yeah, but it's like in a house. It looks like a frontage of a house.
Really
it's a bit
weird,
isn't
it? Yeah, it's really odd.
Really weird.
Surely the Burger King would live in a burger castle, not a burger house. Man, I wish I lived in a burger castle.
Oh.
In fact, the amount of money I've spent on this house, you'd think it was fucking made out of burgers. Billy arrives at the bank for work and ties the dog up under his desk. It's never going to work, is it?
Nope.
He puts on his clip-on tie, which I quite liked. And Phoebe Cates comes along. Oh, little tiny baby Phoebe Cates.
I
saw your face there. I was going a different route with you. I went little baby Phoebe Cates, and you went. I've seen her cleavage in the film with Chris Penn.
No, that's the one.
Oh, did you tie that out of the water? Yeah.
I know.
My question, John, is what's your man got that you don't? You know, Chris Klein. What's it? Not Chris Klein? No, Chris Klein.
Aye.
It's Chris, yeah.
Chris Klein. Yeah. No, it's not.
No, Chris Klein's the guy out of the American Pie movies. Fucking hell. I was going to say Nathaniel Klein, but I think he plays football for Arsenal or something.
Kevin Klein.
Him as well. What's he got that you don't?
Money.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Considerable millions of it.
And a fish called Wanda.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
And a massive penis.
Well, I mean, that makes two of you. Oh, sorry. He's got a massive penis. Understood. Very good. So she wants him to sign his petition to keep the pub open. So Mrs. Deagle's the local land bastard, and she wants to take the lease away. And he says, it's where my mum and dad met. And she says, it's where every kid's mum and dad met.
Mm.
Outside, there's this Mrs. Harris, and she's desperate to get 2 weeks to pay her rent. Mrs. Deagle is there, and she's obviously the landlady. Her kids are coughing and hungry. Mrs. Deagle's like, I don't give a fuck. She's storming down the street with this...
head of a snowman head under her. This is quite funny. Some size as well. Porcelain.
Bavarian imported. Which got me thinking about next week, where we're probably going to be talking about Italian imported twinkle lights.
True that. And dry turkey, hopefully.
Yeah, well, yeah. Ugh, always makes me feel a bit sick, that.
It does a bit, actually.
Yeah, imported Bavarian snowman. Mr. Futterman wouldn't be behind that, would he? He'd be like, oh my God, foreign gremlin snowmen.
Goddamn foreign snowmen.
She doesn't want money, she wants Barney. She basically wants him dead because the dog had knocked it over. She goes a bit Quint from Jaws, doesn't she? I'll catch the beast myself. I'll find him for 3 and I'll catch him for 10.
That's horrible.
Barney jumps out and attacks Mrs. Deagle. And she calls him a mangy cur, which is absolutely my new insult.
A mangy what?
A mangy cur is what she calls the dog. I'm going to start calling everyone a mangy cur. Mange John, cheerily enough at Christmas, is canine scabies, and it's caused by mites. Or as my phone has changed it to, Miles. I don't know who Miles is. The Miles. Fox out of Sonic.
God, I haven't thought about him in years.
That's a shame, because he's ringing you all the time. Papa John! Oh. Papa John, when are you going to take me in, Papa John? I've absolutely no idea why Miles Tails, whatever he's called, is Tails Prowler, and how I know that, I don't know, is some sort of South American fox.
How do you remember all this stuff? Honestly,
mate, because I've wasted my fucking life. I am 43 years old, John and listeners, and I have nothing. I have nothing going on in my head except references to shite.
Shit, I know.
But references to shit. And we'll sit and watch something, and I'll go, haha, and Rachel will go, what is it? And I'll go, it doesn't matter. It will take me too long to explain.
It will take me back to a place long time ago.
Yeah, it's an Atari 2600 game that you don't need to know about, Rachel.
No.
And she goes, I made some seriously wrong decisions in my life.
And Mary
knew
was not one of them.
We watch the rest of the film in silence. Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. Anyway, listeners, none of that happens. I am a very seriously well-endowed gentleman with a lot of care and attention for my wonderful wife.
And a lot of leatherback bound books.
I am, yeah. It smells, smells of mahogany. Yeah, exactly. The bank manager, who only has one scene and isn't a character, is apologising to her. Gerald, however, is...
Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold. Is this after or before he's big in... Beverly Hills Cop.
Eddie Murphy. I think it's the same year, but I'm going to check for you because that's annoying me as well.
Yeah, because he's not in this. He is in two scenes.
Yep, 1984, Beverly Hills Cop, so must have been around about the same time. He's got to have been shot after it, though, because he even looks different in, if I remember right. And
yeah, he does. Yeah, he looks considerably older. He's a real prick. In the bar later, he's saying to Billy, he could have him sacked. I'm the junior VP at 23, and at 25, I'll be the manager. And by 30, I'll be a millionaire. Now, How many local branch bank managers, John, do you know that are millionaires?
Well, a lot of bankers, but that boom certainly helped.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish they'd all go fucking boom. Kate takes drinks. He says, "Hey, Kate, you haven't seen my new apartment." And her retort is, "I never saw your old one." It's brilliant. It's a good retort. Billy gets home and Mum's watching It's a Wonderful Life on the TV. Yep. Merry Christmas, Movie Emporium. Merry Christmas, Wonderful Old Savings and Loan. Merry Christmas, Burger King.
No, it's Bijou Booby House, isn't it? Booby House!
By the way, It's a Wonderful Life is one I am... It's a film... listeners, It's a Wonderful Life, if you don't know, is my favourite film of all time because apparently I'm Dave Lister from Red Dwarf. Right? But it really is my favourite film of all time. I watch it every Christmas and I sob my fucking heart out from like minute six all the way through at the end. And John, I really want to do It's a Wonderful Life for this podcast, but you will hate every fucking minute of that. So I need to find somebody else to do it with.
I used to watch It's a Wonderful Life religiously every Christmas as well.
Did you? Oh, so you know it very well. I don't think we'll get many facts. But I will get to do my Merry Christmas, your wonderful old savings and loan. So I will get to do my Jimmy Stewart, which, considering the amount of times I've seen that film, more times than I've seen any other film, except maybe Airplane, I should be better at that impression.
You can't win them all, big man. You can't win them all. You don't have the range, darling. You don't have the range.
No range for the impressions. Billy helps with the eggs, by the way. Dad's invented this egg. Right. Here's another one of Dad's fucking inventions. This egg cracker. It's a great idea, right? It's got the eggs on a little runner thing. Yep. And the little chicken head goes down and pecks the thing. I don't understand how that would work. I kind of get the principle, but I don't really understand how it works in reality. But it doesn't work, and all the eggs fall into the thing. But the one thing I did know is, why are all eggs in American films white?
White, yes.
Because most of our eggs are brune.
Are brune, exactly. Yeah.
White leghorn chickens, I say leghorn chickens, lay white shelled eggs. Whilst Plymouth Rocks and Rhode Island Reds lay brown shelled eggs.
Right.
There you go.
So we just don't have the foghorn leghorns?
That's exactly right. Yeah. We didn't land on the Plymouth Rock Hen. The Plymouth Rock Hen landed on us. Or something. Other films that we could have been watching. But I'm not going to say films that I'd rather watch because I really enjoy watching this.
I know. Yeah, it's good to go back.
Perhaps we should get back to it, to talk about it, the film that I enjoyed watching.
Let's do that.
Yes, let us. Mum's really kind, though, right? She's like, "Oh, your father's machines work so well the first couple of weeks." And I was like, she is like, not only is she a lovely human being, but she's fucking badass, by the way.
Later on, honestly, I thought, man, she's a murderer. Yeah.
She's got some head count on this.
She's
chopping onions and watching It's a Wonderful Life, which I assume must be the headiest mix for a housewife who wants to be sad. Yeah, isn't it?
It's emotional. What can make this film sadder? Onions.
Yeah, absolutely. Dad arrives and gives Billy a gift. They dim the lights with this remote control invention that looks like a police scanner radio, doesn't it? The noise.
It's like one of those CBs for chips, doesn't it?
And Billy opens the cage to meet his Mogwai for the first time. Barney, of course, wants to eat it. It's a brilliant puppet, by the way. It's a puppet!
It's a puppet!
It's gorgeous. I love it. And Dad's called him Gizmo. Mom takes a photo using the flash and scares the shit out of him.
Yeah.
It's 100% like Colin when our doorbell rings. Under the sofa, up the stairs. Dad explains the rules. I'm assuming Gizmo might have photosensitivity, John. Photosensitivity is a heightened skin sensitivity or an unusual reaction when your skin is exposed to UV radiation from sunlight or a tanning bed. You can become photosensitive as a result of prescription or over-the-counter medications, a medical condition or genetic disorder, or even by using certain types of skincare product.
Nice.
Or by being a gremlin, perhaps. Later that night, Billy's playing musical notes and Gizmo's humming in tune. Billy puts a Christmas hat on him, and he's so very cute that Barney the dog instantly becomes redundant.
I know, you don't see that dog. Goodbye,
shove
dog.
Your dog. Barney the dog, John, was actually called Mushroom. and played Gypsy in Pumpkinhead.
Was there one guy? Oh, man, remember Pumpkinhead?
Pumpkinhead, oh, yeah, Lance Henriksen. That's one Rachel keeps bugging me to watch, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I can. It probably looks like dog shit now.
But I remember Pumpkinhead was a big thing. I remember the model shops used to sell a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah,
there was loads of them at one point.
Billy shines a mirror in his eyes because he's a fucking prick, and Gizmo falls in a bin. Next morning, Billy's making juice using the Peltzer orange juicing machine. Is it on? I can't hear a thing. It's whisper quiet.
First juice machine was invented in 1930, so what was the point in inventing that one?
I guess it's a better one? Question mark.
Is it, though? Is it the same one? Remember the one that Superman used when he squished his thumb in Superman 2? Remember, it's like, oh, it's a thumb.
So you're saying there's a better way?
There's a better way.
Corey Feldman's back, still inexplicably dressed as a tree, and he's bought the family tree. Gizmo's watching an old film on the portable telly, and I got a real kick out of this portable telly, you know, with the tuner dials. It's the volume dial, the tuner dial. It brought back amazing memories for me. Yeah.
Try to tune it in and keep your hand over the aerial to
That's right. And then when the aerial broke, it was wire coat hanger.
Yeah, hanging in there.
So it did the job. Did the job. I have absolutely no idea. The film is To Please a Lady, not something I know about. 1950. And it stars Barbara Stanwyck and Clark Gable. He's doing this lovely driving noise to the film, isn't he? Which will come in a little bit later on. Billy introduces Pete to Gizmo, only for him to throw a pot of paintbrushes and water all over the poor.
Oh, yeah, little prick. And see what he'd done straight after he'd done it?
He fucks off.
Fucks off and starts reading a 3D comic.
3D comic, yeah. He's like, oh, my God, I'd love one of these. Can I get one of these? Oh, I'm going to read a 3D comic. And I'm like, that's some really good writing / directing, that. How fickle the fucking child is. Yeah.
I looked up the first 3D comic. It was published... God, it was published in 1953, and it was a Mighty Mouse comic. Remember Mighty Mouse?
Mighty Mouse is here to save the day.
Jesus, that takes you back.
That's an IP that hasn't come back, by the way. Where's all the Mighty Mouse resurgence? Because that's got to be free IP now, hasn't it?
God, aye.
Maybe we should do something with Mighty Mouse.
Or Batfink, 182.
Oh, his wings are like a shield of steel. No, that's problematic, because I've just remembered who his mate is.
You cannot
do that, man. That's problematic, that.
Yeah.
Jesus, maybe that's why we don't see that anymore.
I think you might be right, actually. And as soon as you say that, I thought, you can't do that anymore.
Gizmo screams and pops out these other tiny little mogwai, all that seem really quite happy to be around, but Gizmo looks like a man whose wife's just kicked out 5 kids, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Poor wee face.
He's fucked.
Like, sad Gizmo is me, I think, in general, and... I think that might be my new reaction still.
Is that
online? Yeah, anytime someone posts, I might just have to post a picture.
Is that your spirit animal, but it's not a real thing, is it?
Billy goes in to tell Dad, who's working on the new bathroom buddy. He explains that Gizmo multiplied with water, and all he sees is a great opportunity, by the way, for him to be...
Selling them to the kids.
Yeah, the pelts a pet or something. And I'm like, okay, mate, whatever. I loved these cute little balls of fuzz, by the way. Apparently the swelling newborn mogwai were just air bladders blown up like furry balloons by puppeteers under the table.
Right. So I thought it was like the things for Star Trek. Remember they had the balls?
Tribbles,
that's it.
Now, I remember it when the second movie came out. You could get a... you could get a gizmo, and it came with 3 little gizmos in it. Like, you used to be able to open it up,
mate.
And the little mogwais were in it. They were like little fur balls, and you could unfold them, and they would,
Oh man!
I never had one. I was a little bit too old.
I was too poor.
Well, that as well. The mogwai are mean and misbehaving. Spike the leader, by the way, is playing this fantastic Donkey Kong arcade. That night, Billy's sleeping and he hears whimpering Barney, who's outside tangled up in the lights.
Yeah.
Which they actually did. Where the fuck's Peter when you need them?
It looked too real, didn't it?
Billy thinks it's Mrs. Deagle, but they have no proof. But Dad's using this battery-powered hammer, like the one Homer invents
yeah.
in The Simpsons. And I was like, ah, see? The Simpsons did it again. And then I realised this was 1984, and The Simpsons were still 5 years away. So
Stoller, when did they get the makeup gun for you as well? That's why I want to know.
Hold Homer, still, it's set to whore. Dad agrees to take Barney to Grandma's to keep him away from Deagle. Dad also has this coffee machine that made me feel a little bit sick. Kicks out the tar.
First coffee maker was made in 1908.
Oh, good man. Billy takes a Mogwai to school to show the teacher, Mr. Goodson, who at the time, this actor was married to Aretha Franklin.
Wow, he's got such a cool voice.
He has such a cool voice. Yeah. He and Aretha Franklin divorced the same year, I assume because he fucked off to play with the Blues Brothers.
Daddy, though.
Footman is being kicked out of the bar because he's hammered. You got to watch out because foreigners put gremlins in your cars.
There you go.
First mention.
Win the prize.
That's prize right. Well done, Footman. It's all a bit Braverman, though, isn't it? You know, it's not Footman, it's Braverman this. Get out. Yeah, get out. Walking home, Billy explains to Kate that the way she handled Footman was great. She says it's about listening to the people. A lot of people get depressed at Christmas and it's hard.
True that.
And she's right. So, all jokes aside, just for a moment, this is our Christmas gift to you, listeners. If you're low and you need someone to talk to, someone to reach out to, then come and find us on the socials. We'll make time for you. Don't be alone at Christmas, because nobody should be. So, 100thingswelearnfromfilm.co.uk, 100thingswelearnfromfilm.co.uk. Find our socials, reach out to us. And because of that, and because it's Christmas, we've had a chat beforehand and we're going to donate £100 to Mind on behalf of the podcast and our wonderful patrons.
Yeah.
Mind is the mental health charity, because we all know how difficult it can be at Christmas, especially we can know because we've struggled ourselves. According to Mind, even though one in four people have mental health problems, most of us don't get the help we need, and this has got to change. We are here to fight for mental health, for support, for respect. So if you've got money to spare at Christmas, I know it's really tough, then just throw them a few shekels. It's mind.org.uk/donate. So with that in mind, a massive thank you to my support, my rock, the most disappointed woman in Carlisle and the love of my life, Rachel Plant, all year round, not just at Christmas. Lovely Rob Jones, Jen Stewart, James Allen, Megan Palmer, What the Fuck Do You Want podcast, Dale and Ali Metcalf, Maria, the SP Film Viewers podcast, Ian McComish, Emily Vint, Nigel Davis, the Be There With Belson podcast, Aaron Huggett, Hallmark of Greatness podcast, Mundescapism podcast, Gavin McGill, Cult Connections pod, Super Familiar with the Wilsons podcast, Phil Farish, and Mono Rants at the Boys podcast. You wonderful, fantastic human beings. I speak to each of you at least once a week, and we both truly appreciate you, especially at Christmas, even at Hanukkah, and whenever you're having a crazy Kwanzaa.
Yeah, well done, guys. Well done. Yeah.
So thank you so much. It's not all your money we're giving away. We're giving our own money away as well. But you've inspired us to do so because we know how hard it is at Christmas.
You just make us better people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, back to the silliness and the film. Billy pressures Kate and she complains that if you say you don't like Thanksgiving or Washington's birthday, no one cares. Say that you don't like Christmas and everyone treats you like a leper. And then she agrees to go on a date with him.
Yeah, easy.
Which is really weird.
Treat them mean, keep them keen.
Yeah. Washington's birthday, John, the 22nd of February. It's observed as a holiday the third Monday of each February. This coming year, it's Monday the 19th of Feb.
Right. One of those that keep changing then.
Like the Queen's birthday. I wonder if the King's birthday is the thing now. I mean, will
he get two? Wonder if he'll get two.
So he's aging at twice the rate of any of us.
Pretty much, aye.
I guess that's because he's inbred.
Aye, and obviously having to sleep with horse face all the time.
No, he just wants to be a... He wants to be a thing in a vagina? Yeah, my goodness. Wow, how was that a thing? That night at the lab, the teacher's doing a blood test on the Mogwai while Billy and Gizmo watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah,
great film.
Yeah, I've double-checked. There's only three of them. There was meant to be a fourth, but there's another three. I've double-checked. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Body Snatchers and The Invasion for 2007. There was meant to be one in 2017, but I think they pulled the plug.
That the invasion film is that?
Is that the one with
Daniel Craig?
Craig and
Nicole Kidman.
I didn't enjoy it.
I don't remember a scene of it. I've definitely seen it.
But 1978, the Body Snatchers, Invasion Body Snatchers.
I feel like I need to watch that again. Right, yeah, that scared the shit out of me as a teenager.
That dog with a human face. It was
I don't even remember that. Yeah. The Mogwai want fed. Billy checks the clock and sees it's only 11:35, so he feeds them. The animation of these lads eating is brilliant, by the way.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, but it's not as good as the conspiring they do while he's fetching the chicken. Like, he goes to fetch the chicken, like, that's fucking brilliant. The Mogwai in the lab nicks a sandwich. Yum, yum. It's used a lot, that VM.
It really is.
Next morning, the Mogwai have become facehugger cocoons, and they're utterly gross. Billy checks the clock and sees it's still 11:35. Sneaky little bastards have chewed through the power cable.
Little shazers.
Wouldn't be a problem today. Wouldn't happen today. In the lab, the professor says it's at the pupal stage, and the gremlin is going through a metamorphosis in change and appearance. Back at the Peltzer house, Mum answers a call from a convention where Robbie the Robot is there.
Did you see that? Yeah. Oh, man. First appearance in 1957 in Forbidden Planet, which I remember Leslie Nielsen was in as well.
And Leslie Nielsen is in that, God, in a series.
Jesus.
Robbie the Robot was inducted into the Robot Hall of Fame in 2004. I'm not going to say anything horrible about that because they're going to rise up and crush us all.
Yes, they are. They are.
The original prop was sold by Bonhams Auctioneers in 2017 for $5.375 million.
Jesus.
It became the most expensive film prop ever sold at auction.
That's Daylight Robbie.
Hey. Very good.
Did you see what else was in the background?
The Time Machine.
The Time Machine, yep. And I'll be honest with you, I prefer the 2002 version.
Okay. Okay, I mean, look, John, it's okay to have a shit take on a film, right? I mean, as we know, E.T.'s shit, but that very, very early 1960s Rod Taylor film is the better one. It's a fave from my childhood. It won an Academy Award for Best Effects, whereas the 2002 one did not. Guy Pearce, piece of shit starring Samantha Mumba.
Yeah.
I've got to tell you, listeners... That's a bad film.
Orlando Jones made it.
Jones is the best bit in that. Orlando Jones is the best bit in that. I made a Samantha Mumba reference there that will be for nobody. John, you missed it completely. So.
What, the Samantha Mumba?
The Samantha Mumba, gotta tell you reference.
Oh, gotta tell you.
It's not good when you have to explain it.
Sorry.
Did you see, by the way, Spielberg riding around in a Sinclair C4?
Yeah, when I checked on it, I was looking at the background, but I seen something, I just double-checked to see it was him, because at first I was like, that's not him, but it was him.
I think we're missing out on other Spielberg films where he's in some sort of Alfred Hitchcock-style cameo.
Nah.
Like, how about him up to his elbows in dinosaur shit in Jurassic Park? Or, I don't know, stepping on a landmine in Saving Private Ryan? Holding up one of those like Wile E. Coyote signs that just says "Mother," and then getting blammoed. I would love that. I am all
That'd
for
be
that.
Good.
Back at the bank manager isn't supporting the poor woman from the start of the film. Mrs. Deagle pays in a check and threatens Barney again. In the school, there's this documentary in the class. This really old-fashioned documentary on the reel-to-reel player.
The Heart or something.
It's called Hemo the Magnificent from 1957. And is directed, John, by Frank Capra.
Well,
It's a Wonderful Life reference. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus. It's a small world after all.
Yeah. I learned from this an elephant's heart beats 25 times a minute.
It's very informative, wasn't it?
It was very informative. Yeah, I was into that. I think it's on YouTube. I'm going to look it up. Poor Gizmo's hiding inside this helmet as the gremlins emerge. It's no right to still look this good, by the way, because it's 40 years old next year.
Yeah, no, the close-ups of Gizmo's face look amazing as well.
As the kids are leaving, Mr. Hanson, the teacher, shouts he wants tickets to the Super Bowl as a gift. I'll have a tape deck or tickets to the Super Bowl. 20th of January 1985 at the Stanford Stadium, California, the San Francisco 49ers beat mine and Josh Wilson's, the Miami Dolphins, 38-16. Sorry to remind you, Josh Wilson, and any other Dolphins fans.
Oh. Scores that, is that Dan Marino.
Dan Marino, yeah.
That's all the reference guy. I know.
What a guy. You only know him from two films.
Pretty much.
Bad Boys 2 and Ace Ventura. Yeah. In the empty dark class, the film continues and the professor sees the egg hatched. He calls Billy and calls out for the creature. Hey, remember me? I went and got you a candy bar. Like you say, his voice is like silk.
Did you see what he had in his hand, though?
A Snickers bar.
I originally thought it was a Baby Ruth, but it's no Snickers.
Yeah, Baby Ruth.
But I was looking up, like, obviously, here we knew it was Marathon and it changed to Snickers in the 90s, I believe. But the reason it wasn't called Snickers when it first came over to the UK back in the day is because it sounded too much like Knickers, so they thought it was a bit too controversial.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Snickers?
Gah, 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 Snickers. The creature eats the Snickers but grabs Hansen's arm, and next we see Billy find his corpse with a syringe in his butt.
Syringe in his arse, eh?
When Billy goes to use the phone, the gremlin hand slaps it away, and we see a broken air vent cover and hear it heading down the vent. Billy heads to the nurse's office and gets attacked by the gremlin, and it's the first one we see, and it is really disgusting looking thing, isn't it?
The first time you see it, you're like, oh, that's horrible.
Back at home, Mum's making gingerbread men, and hears the gremlin shouting. When she heads upstairs, she sees the cocoons have hatched. Billy calls and tells her to get out.
Yep, get out.
The phone line is cut by a gremlin hand, and Christmas song "Do You Hear What I Hear" is played very loudly from downstairs.
Oh, for the record player.
Yeah, October 1962, with lyrics by Noel Regney and music by Gloria Shane. The pair, who were married at the time, wrote it as a plea for peace during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
What? Wonder what they seen what we did. We couldn't see.
Covered by, deep breath, Andy Williams. I didn't think he was going to do You Hear What I Hear, and then bam! Pat Boone, Kate Smith, Dina Carroll, Jim Nabors, Perry Como, Robert Goulet, Vera Said That, Mahalia Jackson, Whitney Houston, and of course this version by Johnny Mathis.
Mm-hmm.
The Whitney one sold 500,000 copies in the US. Mam heads down with a knife, and there's some more great shadow work. It's really good for shadows, this. They've got the shadow animations, it's great. Mm-hmm. She heads to the kitchen, and there's this gremlin eating her bacon. We hear the yam yam again. It gets in the food mixer and she turns it on, and it's got this brilliant green blood everywhere.
It's so gross, isn't it?
Which is a really so good gross. Decision. And I assume that was the decision to make it a quote-unquote family-friendly film. She's attacked by one throwing plates, which she stabs, and then she microwaves one.
I know. She's gone through
them. She's got some fucking body count already, all just in the kitchen. So it got me thinking, John, why do things in microwaves explode? The answer is, if food has a high water content, like an egg or a potato, the water expands and turns into steam. Without a way for the steam to escape, the internal pressure rapidly builds until the food explodes.
There you go.
Or the gremlin. Or the old lady's dog in the microwave.
Yeah, what came first, the egg or the gremlin? Or the dog?
Probably me. this scene, by the way, had to be reshot after the gremlin exploding was meant to be too gory. I'd like to have seen that original version.
You know, huh? But they left the last bit in. That's crazy.
I know, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. She heads into the lounge and sees a stocking above the fireplace moving. She slashes it open and it's a toy robot. Mum backs into the Christmas tree and there's a gremlin in there that attacks her as Strike watches on. Billy arrives and grabs a sword off the wall.
Yeah. Yep.
Like some bother. Sort of weird kind of like, I mean, like I didn't realise this was Florida, listeners, that they lived in. Decapitating the gremlin, it caused its head to fly into the fire, which I liked.
Yep.
Strike makes a dash out the window.
And there's no. Right, so that's my question.
Yep.
Have you noticed put him anywhere near water? Why can he run through snow?
Because it's not real snow, John, obviously. Because it's that fake snow in films. Yes, I did also kind of question that one. Billy takes Mum to the neighbour, Dr. Molinaro, and heads back to get Gizmo. And they head where, John?
To
YMCA. YMCA. The Young Man's Christian Association. Young Man. Christian Association was founded in London on June the 6th, 1844, in a response to unhealthy social conditions arising in the big cities at the end of the Industrial Revolution. In the United States during the Civil War, YMCA memberships shrunk to one-third its size as members marched off to battle. 15 of the remaining Northern Ys formed the U.S. Christian Commission to assist the troops and prisoners of war. It was endorsed by President Abraham Lincoln, and its 4,859 volunteers included the American poet Walt Whitman.
Can I get a Whitman?
Not a single mention, though, John, of cops, construction workers, sailors, bikers with handlebar moustaches, or Native American people.
What? Why must they? Why? Why MCA was they like them?
Very good. If I could be arse making clips, John, that's the clip. Inside, Spike escapes through a vent and dives in the pool, which starts doing the smoking and bubbling thing, and Billy and Gizmo make a run for it. As we know, don't get them fucking wet. How bad could it be?
Pretty bad.
Indeed. In the sheriff's office, the sheriff and deputy Brant, did you spot who this was, by the way?
So, the guy, at first, actually, I know it's going to sound a bit weird, but I thought it was the cop that was in Terminator, but it's no, that's obviously...
it's Mike from Breaking Bad.
Is it?
Yeah, the young, quote-unquote, young Brant. Jesus. Is. I mean, he's young Mike, but he's not that young, yeah. They don't believe him, so Billy shows them Gizmo. There's this brilliant stop-motion army of gremlins going through the town.
That looks good.
The footmans are watching TV, and when it goes off, it's goddamn foreign TV. I told you we should have bought a Zenith.
What's that, a Zenith?
A Zenith, John, launched in 1918 as Chicago Radio Labs and became Zenith Electronics the year that this film came out. In 1999, they were bought out by LG.
Oh, well.
Oh, the irony.
Short-lived. Short-lived.
Yeah. He looks up on the roof to see the mangled antenna before his snowplow drives out the garage full of gremlins and drives into the house, which I think might have been made of sticks.
Yeah, it just crumbled, didn't it?
He obviously got this from fucking Three Pigs Building Company or something. It's just straight through it.
Mr. Plow, that's my name.
Across town, this old priest trying to put his mail in the mailbox and he keeps spitting it out. And he's like, oh, hello, Anderson. This guy with the pipe who we've seen a few times. Hello, Anderson. Oh, maybe you got a parcel to deliver? Be my guest. And he goes to put the parcel and gets his hand eaten. What a fucking priests, man.
I know.
They really are bad.
Can you trust them? Can you trust one of them?
Over at old Mrs. Deagle's, she's feeding her cats. All of her cats. Now, before we get into the cats, John, old Mrs. Deagle. The actor playing old Mrs. Deagle was 47 years old.
You're kidding.
I'd love to know how that makes you feel, John, at the ripe old age of 47.
That's unbelievable, man. Really?
It is unbelievable.
That's not right.
It is unbelievable.
She must have been a smoker. Heavy smoker.
Yeah. All of her cats had really odd names, so I looked them up. One's called Kopeck, which is an old Russian coin. It's basically a penny. It's 1/100th of a ruble, still used in Belarus and Ukraine. One of them's called ruble, so 100 kopecks makes one of those. And one's called dollar bill,
which
was first printed in 1929.
Facts are plenty there, big man.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. She hears carol singers and heads out, and it's the gremlins. And they're not even doing carol singing, they're singing the theme tune to the film, which I loved. There's just something fantastically wall busting about that. It's great. When she gets back in, there's one tinkering with a stair lift. She starts it up and goes flying about 20 miles an hour before being catapulted out the window. And into the bins. Just you wait till I get you upstairs. Just you wait. The things I'm going to do to you.
Whee! Right out the window.
Rand Peltz is heading home, and for some reason he's selling this guy at a service station a smokeless ashtray. I've written, is this just to slow down the film? Question mark.
Must have been. I actually double-checked
when he arrives.
I actually checked to see if there is such a thing as a smokeless ashtray.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was nonsense, but it turns out there is one.
Well, there's
a prototype that uses HEPA filters, and it can filter it up to 90% of the particles. I'm assuming that's
It's
not too bad. So, it's a thing.
It certainly works better than his, which causes the guy to have some sort of coughing fit. but it's not like Rand Pelzer gets to the end of the film and he's important to the end of the film.
Yeah.
Other than he gets told off. You know, that's it. We're back now at the pub, and the gremlins are harassing Kate for booze and snacks.
Yeah.
There's a flasher one. There's one playing the arcade machine.
Yep.
Which is actually Liberator arcade machine, John.
Oh, is it?
Not Star Wars, Liberator.
Ah, right, okay.
It looks like that Star Wars.
It looks
Wars
like Star
one,
Wars, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Man. Oh, we've done Coors because I've seen Coors in the background, but what I did see was one of them wearing leg warmers. Remember those?
Yep.
Invented in the 40s and 50s, but I did, never understood why it just kept your ankles. Because it just kept your ankles warm, didn't it? Less
yeah,
of your ankles.
Yeah.
Pointless.
I don't know. Your ankles are the coldest bit of you, I'm sure. That one is dancing to Mega Madness, is the song, John, by Michael Sembello. And the reason it sounds kind of familiar. Mm-hmm. Is he's the guy that won the Oscar and Golden Globe for Maniac from Flashdance in 1983.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
right.
Which is why it sounds like that. Not released
yeah, it
anywhere,
really does.
Mm-hmm. But is yep. on the official soundtrack of this. Yeah.
Wow.
It's weird, isn't it? Because I was listening to it going, is this Flashdance? Like, is this a knockoff Flashdance written by the same guy? Obviously, the guy just went, I'm on a fucking roll, son. I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like various dressed up. I quite like how they're all dressed up, including one in a fedora listening to jazz, and one with little hand puppets. And he hits him with a mallet. It's very good. Kate learns she can kill them by flashing the Polaroid camera at them.
Yeah, did you see the bulb strip?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, those. Do you remember those?
Yeah, there was only five on it apparently.
All right,
there was hundreds of them.
Yeah, it seemed like it, didn't it? But the big long ones.
Yeah, yeah.
As she's escaping, Billy turns up with the car and blinds them all with the headlamps. They head to the sheriff's office, and Kate tells us why she hates Christmas. And I'm going to do this verbatim. Cause...
Are you doing it? Oh, are you doing it?
Have you got it?
No.
I was going to say. The worst thing that ever happened to me was on Christmas. Oh, God, it was so horrible. It was Christmas Eve. I was 9 years old. Me and Mum were decorating the tree, waiting for Dad to come home from work. A couple of hours went by, and Dad wasn't home. So Mum called the office. No answer. Christmas Day came and went, and still nothing. So the police began a search. 4 or 5 days went by. Neither one of us could eat or sleep. Everything was falling apart. It was snowing outside. The house was freezing. So I went to try and light up the fire, and that's when I noticed the smell. The fireman came and broke through the chimney top, and me and Mum were expecting to pull out a dead cat or a bird, and instead they pulled out my father. He was dressed in a Santa Claus suit. He'd been climbing down the chimney, his arms loaded with presents. He was going to surprise us, but he slipped and broke his neck. He died instantly, and that's how I found out there was no Santa Claus.
Oh, so grim, isn't it?
Fucking hell. Isn't it just... isn't it just... It's awful. And at the same time, you had too much money if you had a chimney quite that wide.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, aye. If I could even think about thickening my chimney, I would, but no chance.
Mate, I could barely fit through my door. Do you know what I mean? What's fucking going on?
Really massive swimmer shooters of yours?
Yeah, that's the problem. The shoulders. Yeah, sure. Warner Brothers Studios studio executives expressed their displeasure with Kate's speech about her father's death. They thought it played oddly and wasn't clear whether audiences were supposed to feel sad or to laugh. The execs demanded the Santa speech be cut, but Joe Dante held firm, pointing out it's the combination of horror and comedy that's accurately represented throughout the film. And that's how they kept it in.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
They head to the cinema and find that they've all the gremlins have descended upon it. By the way, how quick a turnaround is it? Like, from the day before to now, it's a completely different film.
Yeah.
Like, it was showing two other films the other day, and now it's only showing this. They're watching Hi Ho and singing along. Behind the screen, Billy and Kate have rigged the gas to explode and set a fire, but the gremlins see them and take chase. Billy barricades the fire door to the cinema and it explodes, taking all the gremlins inside with them.
Apart from one.
Who
decided to go for munchies.
he's in the window of the department store, Stripe. Billy explains they've got to stop him getting to water, but he's got a skateboard.
I know. Look,
fellow humans?
you can't win against a skateboard.
No. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, John, I think might have been the first film I saw at the cinema. Either that or Bambi, I'm not sure.
My first film was either, I need to double check this, it was either a Star Wars film or Labyrinth.
Okay, both horrifying, but yeah. The first full-length cel-animated feature film from 1937 and the first ever Disney feature film. It cost $1.5 million to make and has made, in cinemas alone, $418 million.
Jesus. That's crazy.
Well worth it. The song they're watching is Hi Ho, recorded by Horace Height and his Brigadiers, with vocal chorus sung by the Kings and Glee Club. The record made it to number 4 in April 1938 and stayed on the charts for 10 weeks.
Jesus.
How shit were the charts back then?
Where's a magical foam, though? I remember thinking, man, that's...
It still looks amazing. Like, the colour and the... Yeah, it still looks super.
It's still very vibrant. Makes you wonder how many times those dwarfs were touched up in a remastered sense this year.
Oh, I see. Very good. Yeah. I did wonder where you were going with that. Billy sends Kate to find the lights. He kisses her and hands her gizmo. He grabs a baseball bat and spots Stripe on all the TVs, but before he can find him, he makes for the toy department. Kate turns on all the lights, but also turns on the fountain in the garden centre. Yeah. Why is there an indoor garden centre? Stripe tries to get Billy by throwing buzzsaw blades at him. By the way, how strong is this thing, throwing these and they're going deep into the woods behind him? Yeah. He doesn't do a very good job of it, and instead he escapes on this trike, like some sort of prototype of the saw puppet, isn't he?
Hello, Gizmo. I would like to play a game.
When Billy finds him, he's in the sportswear bit, and he fires this baseball launcher, which hits Billy in the hip, and honestly was the most disgusting bit of the film for me, because I literally went, oh, you bastard! Can you imagine taking a baseball to the fucking hip at your age?
I know, I found a fact about these things. So a mathematics instructor called Charles Hilton designed a gun-powered baseball pitching machine.
Jesus.
And he, for his university team. But I'm thinking, fucking hell, man. What's gunpowder? That's a dangerous thing. You're firing bloody baseballs at somebody. Could take a face off.
America, though, isn't it? It's just a given. Because the one thing that you always have in a shop is...
Guns.
Well... automatic firing baseball things, little hand crossbows, and chainsaws all in the same bit of the shop.
I do think it's a good way to travel, though, by chainsaw. Just lie on the ground and lie on
the ground. I piss myself laughing at him when he kicks him. He gives him a good kicking, doesn't he? And the chainsaw hits the ground and drags him away until it runs out of cable and the cable comes out of the plug.
That's so
fucking
funny.
Yes. Yes. Meanwhile, Gizmo's found this Barbie car and is remembering how much he loved the driving in the film.
Yep, 1984 pink Corvette.
All right, nice one. You've done a better job than me of that. I found a Barbie convertible pink car and doll reduced to clear on Tesco.com for 12 quid. There you go. You went for the proper stuff. I went for the knockoff shit. The chainsaw delivers him to the garden section of the shop, which, for some reason, that bit also has handguns.
Yeah, I noticed America. That.
Absolutely. Stripe shoots at Billy a few times with a handgun and jumps into the fountain, starting to bubble, when Gizmo crashes the car into the flower bed and manages to throw himself onto the blind control, and now it's daylight outside as the blind goes up. Stripe bubbles and melts and falls into the fountain, and it still looks utterly phenomenal.
It's amazing, it looks so still good. Gross. Still gross.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching a Blu-ray version, and oh my god! The fountain begins to smoke and steam. Billy goes for a closer look because he's fucking stupid, and the jump scare of the spike skeleton just lurching out with its eye, with that
eye. With the eye. Ooh.
Crashes to the ground and then melts.
Literally melts. That's a great scene.
Yeah, it is. Back in the Peltzer house, they're watching the news report on TV when the old Chinese man arrives. He's furious that, of anything, they've allowed Gizmo to watch telly.
Yeah.
He also has this really lovely conversation with Gizmo in whatever language he speaks.
Yep.
And he says, "You do with Mogwai what your society did with all nature's gifts. You do not understand." And I'm like, okay, I get that. Gizmo wants to talk to Billy, and Gizmo says, "Bye, Billy." It's cute.
Oh, that's lovely. Lovely.
And that's the story. Yeah. So the line at the end from Peltzer is, "If your equipment goes on the fritz, before you call the repairman, turn on all your lights and check under the bed, because there might just be a gremlin in your house." Aww. And as we see the old man walking away with Gizmo, it's one of these fucking beautiful matte paintings, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
I love them.
No, it's
they
so
should
good.
Be. Oh man, they should be using them still. All that shite fucking
CGI, like, and that stick
oh,
in my ass.
Man. Nice. Just give us a fucking matte painting, will you?
Yeah, that, honestly, I loved it because I was looking at the whole surroundings. It was brilliant. Loved it.
And that's the movie. John, any more
no, any that's
more
it.
Facts?
You got all,
oh, you,
facts,
is that all of them, is it?
I'm fact out.
Oh, fantastic. I know I've got more. I know there's something here somewhere. The Donkey Kong machine, John. Donkey Kong mini arcade game. Retailed at $54.95 and also came in Frogger, Galaxian, Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man.
What?
Yeah, what's the difference between Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man? Well, Mrs. Pac-Man's got a little bow in it.
That's it, a bow. Yeah,
absolutely. On average, John, 350 people a year are injured by Christmas tree lights, including falls whilst they're being put up, children swallowing bulbs and electric shocks and burns.
Idiots.
And that is all I have. So while I top them up, how many do you think we've got?
It wasn't a very long film, because a lot of bits where nothing was actually happening.
yeah, that's very true.
I'm going to say 84.
Oh, go higher than 84.
98.
Oh, John, 95.
Oh, that's 95. Not too bad. That's not too
not
bad.
So bad. Not so bad at all. So, listeners, thank you so much for your time this week. We will be back next week with John.
With Patron's Choice, is it not?
Yeah. National Lampoon's Crimbo Vacation.
Is it definitely going to be?
Oh, yeah.
Good. I'm happy with that.
It's all closed. It's all done.
Happy
yeah, so
that.
Christmas Vacation. So we're looking forward to that. Again, if you want to be mentioned at some point in the show, because moved it around this time, put them in the middle, then
yeah,
you
yeah,
can
good.
Do so at patreon.com/100things or 100thingswelearnedfromfilm.co.uk. For all of our links and various bits and pieces, but yeah, that's it for now. John, say something nice from your lovely new studio. We didn't even mention your lovely new studio.
Yeah, my lovely new studio. Yeah, it's all good. My mic, so hopefully the sound is good. So just what you say, Christmas is coming upon us. So please, if you are feeling lonely or you need to reach out, remember you've got Mind, you've got Charm. There's lots of places to go. But equally, if you're in a good place and you know somebody's struggling, please just give me a phone call or text something. Just reach out. Okay.
Oh, that's very sweet. Yeah, reach out to somebody. And again, if you think you've got a friend who needs that little bit of extra love and support at Christmas, reach out to them.
Definitely.
Because I'll be ignoring John between now and this time next week when we're recording.
I was going to get in touch with him, but you can go and fuck yourself.
Because I'm a prick. But listeners, thank you so much for your time this week. We'll be back next week. But for now, I've been Plenty, he's been John, and this has been 95 Things We Learned from The Gremlins. See ya.
See you guys.